Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chagiga Daf Chof Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page, and then go to Option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur in the middle of Chof Gimel, 26 lines from the top. Before we begin the shiur, we glance at the side where we see our Nosei Mivneh heading, which reads, you see, of course, a diamond is featured. The diamond appears here and a few lines later in the Gemara. She'elois Mafteach. These are key questions. Kedei Lahasbir, in order to explain Ha Dikotoni, that which we learned in our Mishnah, Kelim HaNigmorim B'Tara, Tzrichim Tevila L'Kodesh. We learned in our Mishnah, amongst the various chumras, stringencies that apply to kochim, sacrificial matters over truma, the tithe that we give of our produce to the kohanim, we find that vessels, when they are completed, even though they're completed in a state of tahara, nevertheless they require an immersion before you can use them for sacrifices. So as we said, we have two key questions, and within each diamond you'll see a double underline which indicates Shlavei Birur B'chol Sheli. These are stages in clarifying each matter, each question. So now the Gemara. The beginning of the line, you can see the quote from the Mishnah, Kelim HaNigmorim B'Tahara Tzrichim Tevila L'Kodesh. Vessels that are completed in a state of Tahara require immersion for the use of korbonus avolo l'truma, but not if you intend to use the vessels for truma. De gamrinhu man, who is the one that was crafting, that was making these vessels? Who is fashioning these vessels? E lemo de gamrinhu chover. If you say that a chover, an individual who is responsible and trustworthy, diligent within the realm of Tumas and Taras, someone who's careful about maintaining ritual purity, Loma Luhu Tevila. Why should there be any requirement for immersing the vessel? Elo de Gamrinu Amo Oretz. Rather, it's a craftsman that is an ignoramus, someone who's not careful regarding Tumas and Taras. So maybe he's the one then that the Mishnah is featuring. The Gemara asks, if that's the case, Nigmorim B'Tahara Kori Luhu? Would the Mishnah refer to an Amoretz artisan as completing something in a state of ritual purity? Not so. He's not careful about those matters. Omar Rabo Bar Shilo, Omar Rav Maton, Omar Shmuel, Li Oilom De Gamrinu Chover. The craftsman, in fact, is a chover, a concerned and diligent individual. Umishum sinura the amoretz de nofal. What we are worried about, though, is the spittle that comes forth from an amoretz. The spittle of an amoretz we treat as a source of tuma. Now, another question: Amos, when is this taking place? If the spittle reached the vessel before it was completed, ha lav monahu, it's not a vessel. And something that's not a vessel doesn't lend itself, is not subject to becoming defiled. Elo bosor degamre. Rather, after the vessel was completed, so the amoretz spittle landed on it. The Gemara asks, that's not likely. Mizar zoyer behu. The craftsman, he's a chover, he would be very careful. The oilom mekame de gamre. It's rather before the chover completed the vessel that the spittle would have landed on the vessel. So it's landing on an incomplete vessel. You'll ask, well, that doesn't have any effect on the vessel, though. The dilmo beidno de gamre adayin lechohi. What we're fearful of is at the point that the vessel was completed, that spittle was still there, and it was still wet. And wet saliva on a complete vessel, wet saliva, of course, of an amoretz, is capable of rendering it tome, and hence the requirement of tevila for kodesh. One has to bear in mind that all of this we're dealing, once again, as we've mentioned in our previous shurim, we're dealing with dinim d'rabbanan. These are laws on a rabbinic level, so they can say when things apply and when they don't. So that we're saying that this restriction, this necessity immersing it after it's completed because of this chashash, this doubt that an amor saliva landed on it, this stringency is applicable to vessels that you plan to use for kochim, not for truma. Before we continue with the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a note, say a topic heading. We indicate Hemshech. This is a continuation. Birur, we want to analyze. Im nitan lahamid mishnosenu. Can we set up our Mishnah? Shelo matzricha harev shemesh. Our Mishnah, which does not require, in addition to the immersion, the setting, the subsequent setting of the sun. Kerebi Eliezer. Can we set our Mishnah up, once again, that requires only Tevila, doesn't require Harav Shemesh, like the Tano Rebbe Eliezer? Structurally, you will see that we have a long question. In the middle of this, or as soon as we begin the long question, two lines after we begin the question, you'll notice a bracketed section. It's a rather long bracketed section, but the question then continues afterwards till the bottom line of the Gemara. So now, let's see. We say, Tevila in, regarding all vessels, and we emphasize here, all vessels. Tevila in, it's Tevila that we require, Harav Shemesh lo, but the setting of the sun is not something that we require. Masnisin delo kerebi lezer. It would appear that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe Lezer. Disnan shveferes shechotcha lechatos. The shveferes is a tube, it's a reed tube that was cut for the purpose of holding the ash of the Por Aduma. The word chatos is a reference to the red heifer, to the Por Aduma, and these ashes are eventually mixed with water and sprinkled on people that experienced defilement to the dead. Rabbi Lezer Omer Yitbol Miad. It shall be immersed immediately. Rabbi Yoshua Omer Itamei V'achakach Yitbol. There is a requirement of first defiling it and then immersing it. The rules of Por Aduma are fairly unique to that particular ritual requirement, and it's a topic in which the Tzedukim, the Sadducees, had contested the oral tradition with regard to how it is to be prepared, the Por Aduma, and who is suitable for preparing it, for taking care of each of the stages. Let me very briefly just touch on the main point of controversy between the Tzedukim and the oral tradition, the formal Torah tradition. According to the Tzedukim, the person who was processing the Por Aduma, if he had been Tomei, he not only has to immerse himself in the mikveh, but in order to rid himself of the tumah, he also has to wait for sundown, and only then would he be suitable for dealing with the Por Aduma. Our oral tradition says that if someone was tumah and he merely went to the mikveh, after he goes to the mikveh, though it's still daytime, he is allowed to process the Pora Aduma and all that is associated with it. In the meantime, we see a machlokas between Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yeshua regarding the preparation of the tube of the for the Pora Aduma purpose. Now, we skip the bracketed section. Bishlama the Rabbi Yeshua. According to Rabbi Yeshua, who said in dealing with the shofaris of the chatos, he says, first you metame it, and then you immerse it. So here you have a situation of a vessel that's being completed, and there's a very special way of dealing with it, namely, it's first defiled and then immersed. Hainu de'ika hekeira letzadukim. With that, we show the tzedukim. Hekeira literally means something recognizable. It's our recognizable objection to the tzedukim practice. We have a shoferes that, in effect, is what we call a tevul yom. It was defiled and then immersed, and before sunset, it has the status of being a tevul yom. It's not fully purified, but it's reached the stage that we call tevul yom. So, according to Rabbi Yeshua, we create a shoferes that is, we'll say, halachically speaking, recognizable as our kind of shoferes, as opposed to a tzeduki, a Sadducee type shoferes. The Snan, the source that's quoted now, gives us the background that we alluded to just a bit earlier. Metamen hoyu es hakena surface of pora. We would deliberately defile the kohen who was going to burn the pora duma. To create the ash that's required. Why would we deliberately defile him? Lahoitzi milibon shel tzedukim, to serve as a objection, literally to take out of their hearts, but it means to demonstrate against them, to show our objection to their approach. So omrin b'mururave shemesh hoyasonazesti. The tzedukim used to claim, as we said before, that only Kehanim that who had been Tomei also experienced, besides the mikveh, the subsequent setting of the sun to end the day, only they are qualified. So any act on our part of imposing defilement in the case of the Paraduma is in effect a protest against the method, the procedure, the laws understood by the Tzedukim. So, as far as Rabbi Yeshua is concerned, we have the completion of a Pora Aduma vessel, where we do something odd to it. We defile it and then immerse it, and that is a procedure that's different than what we would follow with in any other context. So we've accomplished our Tzeduki protest. Elo l'Rabbi Eliezer. But according to the Tana Rebbe Lezer, who said regarding the tube of the Chatos, he said that it's cut once it's prepared, it's then immersed. No defilement beforehand. E amris bishlama be'alma bo'inon herev shemesh. If you say that in general, not like we inferred from our Mishnah, but rather in general, when you're preparing vessels, upon their completion, you immerse them and wait for sundown. By the Chatos, Rabbi Eliezer does not require waiting for sundown. Obviously, we're trying to differ from the Tzedukim. He says, just git bol miyad. That's what he said. Hainu dika hekeru letzadukim. So here, with Rabbi Lezer's method, we also accomplish our protest against the tzedukim. Namely, in general, we would wait for Herev Shemesh before using the vessel that was completed. And here, we don't wait for Harav Shemesh. We use it immediately. Elo I amris be'almo lo bo'inon Harav Shemesh. If you say, however, that in general, when you're dealing with the completion of vessels that you plan to use for general holy matters, or kochim in general, you don't require Harav Shemesh, and Rabbi Eliezer by the Shoferes Shochatas also would not require Harav Shemesh. In other words, our Mishnah does not require Harav Shemesh. How can you then say that our Mishnah would go along the lines, go along with Rabbi Eliezer? My Hekeiro Litzadukimika. What recognizable feature would we have to demonstrate our objection to the Tzedukim? So that if you insist that our Mishnah with regard to all vessels does not require Harav Shemesh, then it would appear that our Mishnah could not be like Rabbi Eliezer. Before we go any further in the Gemara, we have to go over now the bracketed section. Before we do that, we glance at the side. We have a note, a starred note on the side, which reads Sograyim L'shem Dilug. The bracketed section is thusly marked in order to skip it initially. Kedei Lagia Miyad L'kushya, in order for us to be able to get rapidly, immediately to the question, as we demonstrated the way we presented the Gemara. B'socha Sograyim HaGemara Mevareres Protim L'gabi Chatichas HaShoferes U'Tvilasa. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara will deal with details concerning the cutting of the reed and its immersion. You'll notice by glancing at the Gemara text that there are some additional markings. We have a structure that appears here very similar to the structure of the Gemara before, where we had the diamonds and the series of double underlines. Here we have instead of a diamond, because this is a new section, so we use a trapezoid or volcano shape. And under the Mivneh heading on the side, the Mivneh represents the trapezoid or volcano represents Shelos Mafteach, key questions, Binyan Hachonas Hashfoferes Shel Chatos, regarding the preparation of this particular Chatos reed, the Hatzorech Letzvilos, and the need for immersing it. So the volcano shape introduces two key questions. And within each question, the double underline again appears. These are shlavim l'taretz, called shela, stages in developing an answer for each one of the questions. So we turn back to the Gemara. V'havinon bo t'chot choman. We ask, who is the one that cut the tube? If you say it's a chover, a person diligent in avoiding defilement, loma litvila, why is there any necessity for immersing it? Rashi says on the side, loma litvila v'kevan di'ein lo tuma, since there is no tuma, ein heker litzedukin b'tvul yom sheba, you wouldn't have anything recognizable to the tzedukim. So once again, if there's no tumah, then our immersing of it and subsequent immediate use wouldn't demonstrate that a tvul yom is mutter, because something that had been tomei can be then described as a tvul yom, not something that was made by a chover. The Gemara continues, v'yelo dechotcha amoretz. An ignoramus is someone who prepared the tube. The Gemara asks, v'ha lemo Rabbi Yeshua yitamei v'yitbol? In a case where an amoretz is the one that made the shvoferes, would Rabbi Yeshua the Tana have said, first impose tomah ha-tomah v'koi? It's already tomei. By virtue of the fact that an amoretz is the one who is preparing it, it is tomei. V'yoma rabo bar shila oma rav matona mar shmuel li'oilom dechotcha chover. A chover is the one that prepared it. And you'll ask, so what's the need for tevila, umishum tzinura di'amor, it's because of the fear that maybe some saliva or spittle from an amoritz had landed on it. The nofal emas, when did the spittle fall? If the spittle landed on it before it was cut, so it's not a vessel, and things that are not a vessel are not affected by sources of tuma. In this case, the source of tuma is the saliva of the amoritz. V'yela baser dechotcha. Are you going to say that the saliva landed on it after it was, after the tube was prepared? Mrs. Zoyerba, the owner of it, is very careful. It's very unlikely that that would have happened. The oily mekami delitchecha, the spittle landed on it before it was cut. How? And you'll ask, well, it doesn't have any effect on it at that point. Dilmo beidno dechotcha dayin lechohi. What we're fearful of is that when it was cut, that saliva was still damp, and in that state, it would impart tuma to the reed. Once again, the issue right now is our Mishnah. Can it possibly conform to the approach of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer, that we see in the case of the Shofera Shochatas? Bishlam Rabbi Yoshua, our Mishnah and Rabbi Yeshua can coexist, because according to Rabbi Yeshua, before we immerse it in the mikveh, we first proactively defile the tube. Hainu diikla hakeiro litzidukim. With that, we have something that's recognizable and I dare say unique to the case of the shoferis of the chatos that you don't find by other vessels, and hence you have something that will constitute a protest to the tzidukim. Disnan mitamin hoyu es hakayin aser sapora. The traditional practitioners of the oral law of the traditional Judaism, when it came to readying the Kohen for processing the Paraduma, they would proactively defile him, lahoitzim libon shel tzedukim, to work as a protest against the way of the tzedukim, shei omrim, they used to claim b'morove shemesh ha'izanasis, that the Paraduma was prepared not only by someone who had immersed himself in a mikveh, if he had been tameh, but he also waited for sundown. We, in the oral tradition, don't require the waiting for sundown in order for a person to be qualified for processing the paraduma. Again, we're talking about someone who happened to have been tomei beforehand. Elo, the Rebbe Lezer, but according to the Tana Rebbe Lezer, who says that regarding the tube of the chatos, no need for waiting for sundown, can our Mishnah be authored by Rebbe Lezer? So Bishlama, Iyamris Bishlama, Ba'alma, Bo'inon, Herev Shemesh. If you say that in general, vessels require sundown as well as the immersion before they can be used for Kochim, so, and that, by the way, is not what our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says that you don't wait for sundown, but if you say that in general, you do need sundown also. So even according to Rabbi Eliezer, we would have accomplished our goal of having something recognizable as different in the case of the Poraduma to be a demonstration against the Tzedukim. If you say that in general, vessels that were Tomei can be readied by mere immersion without waiting for sundown, then my hekeru litzedukim ika, what will be recognizable about this as a shoferis prepared by the prushim, the people that disagree with the tzedukim? What will be recognizable? If you say, once again, in general, vessels, once they're complete, all you do is immerse them and use them immediately. And Rebbe Lezer by the Chata says also immerse it and use it immediately. So there's nothing different about the shoferis of the Chatos to serve as a hecker against the Tzedukim. So we presented the question of the Gemara, and on the side we have a Mivne, a structural note. The triangle that appears represents here, and the additional triangles, Shlavim These are stages, Litaritz Avur Rabbi Lezer, to answer on behalf of Rabbi Lezer, Shesovir de Shveferis Shalpora Yidbol Miyad. He holds that by the Shveris of the Pora Duma, all you do is immerse it immediately. Ulimishnosenu, Kol Akilim Shinigmorim Tovlim Miyad. The Ein Sorach Leherav Shemesh, and regarding all other vessels as well that you're preparing for kochim, you don't require sundown. Eza heker yesh shveferos shel chatos. What by the chatos is going to then serve as the unique feature, setting it apart from all other vessels. So we can say here we have our protest against the tzedukim, that all we're doing is immersing it and using it immediately. The Gemara answers. Omar Rav. Rav says, and what the goal of the Gemara here is to enable us to say that our Mishnah, from which we inferred you don't need Harav Shemesh, conforms to the Shoferis source, specifically Rabbi Lezer's opinion in there, that there too you don't need immersion. And if you don't need that is sundown. All we require is immersion. If that be the case, so then there's nothing unique about the Chatos. Can I find something unique by the Chatos? So that's the goal of the triangled remarks. Omar Rav. So Rav says, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Asa'ua Ketome Sheretz. We treat the Pora Aduma tube as if it were Tome Sheretz. If we look at Rashi at the top, Tome Asua Ketome Sheretz, the Oilom Be'alma Loboy Harav Shemesh, Rabbi Lezer Lekelim Hanigmar Betara. In general, Rabbi Lezer does not require immersion for vessels that were completed in a state of purity. Vafilu Hachi Iko Akeira. And therefore, and nevertheless, and still, we have something recognizable. Lefi Shishvaferes Shalchatos Asahu Ki'ilu Noga B'Sheretz. The way we view the Shvaferes of the Chatos is as if it came into contact with the Sheretz. Minyan Rishon V'Sheni, regarding what happens if it subsequently, this Shvaferes subsequently touches one item and that item then touches a second item. That's called Minyan Rishon V'Sheni. That's the categorizing of tumas as a rishon and a sheni l'tuma, so that the shvaferis of the poraduma, as Reb Lezer says, when it's completed, it's immersed immediately. He'll ask, well, how does it stand out as different than all other vessels that are completed that we also immerse and use immediately? The difference is that the shvaferis shel chatos is capable of imparting tumah to a subsequent item, and that item to something else. So here we have a tube that has the status of Tomei Sheretz, and yet we will use it immediately after its tevilah. A regular Tomei Sheretz not only requires mikveh, but requires the waiting for sundown. So in this respect, that we're not waiting for sundown is the demonstration of the difference between the tube, the Shofar Shochatos, and all other kalim, and that provides us with our protest against the tzedukim. The Gemara asks, Elo Me'ato, now that you're telling me that the tube of the Pora is as the din of Tomei Sheretz, and when we say something is Tomei Sheretz, so as we said just a moment ago, it's capable of imparting Tuma to another item, and that other item can then metame something else. So, if that's the case, Lo Tetame Odom, the shoferis should not be able to defile a man. Because something that's Tomei Sheretz, that means it became a Rishon. Maybe we weren't, we have to just say something a little more accurately than we did before. The tube is viewed as if it itself is a Rishon Tuma, and as such, it can impart Tuma to another item, one other item, making it a Sheni Tuma. That's what Rashi was referring to when he said, Lina Minyan Rishon V'Sheni. But as such, as it being a Rishon Tuma, it should not be able to affect a man, to defile a man. Aloma Tanya. So why has it been taught? Chotcha Umat Bila Ta'un Tfila. The one who cuts it and immersed the tube, he himself needs immersion. So we see that the tube was Mitama a person, indicating that it's not accurate to say that it was that that Tomei Sheretz was that status was imposed upon it. The Elah, rather, Asu'uha Ketome Mace. We're viewing it as something that became defiled through the dead. Something that became defiled through the dead, it becomes what's called an Av Hatuma. And as such, it can defile a person. Makes the person a Rishon Tuma, first level Tuma. We have an avatuma is a primary level tuma, and then its contact with something else makes the second item, makes it a rishon. And with that, we can then understand that the shoferes is something that needs tevila, and it is something that can affect a man. Well, e hachi, if it's so that you're declaring the shoferes tomei meis, that means it's as if it's something that came into contact with the dead. Tiboy hazor shlishi ushvi. It should then require sprinkling of the poraduma water on it on the third day and the seventh day of the clean days, the purification days that are necessary in the case of tumas meis. Aloma tanya. So why has it been taught chotcho matbila ton tfila? The one who cut the reed and immersed it, he himself needs immersion. Tevila in hazor shlishi ushvilo, but the requisite poraduma water sprinklings on the third and seventh days of the purification week following tumas meis, that is not required. So how can you say that it doesn't require hazor shlishi ushvi if you're telling me that it has a din of tomei meis? Ela Asua Kitome Mace Bishvi Shalom. The Shvoferis, the tube, is declared as Tome Mace on its seventh day. What happens when someone reaches the seventh day? So the seventh day, in general, a person who's Tome Mace, or an item, a vessel that's Tome Mace, waits the week, the purification days. During that week, on the third and seventh days, there is Poraduma sprinkling. And on that seventh day, the individual, the vessel, is immersed in the mikvah, and in general, sundown is necessary as well. So what we're telling you here, Rebbe Lazar, who says Yitbo Miyad, can also be the author of our Mishnah. In general, something that is our Mishnah, which, by the way, also doesn't require sundown, the declaration of the Shvoferes, of the Poraduma being something being called Tomei Meis, you're basically saying it's something that in general would have needed to wait for Erev Shemesh, and here we're not waiting for Erev Shemesh. That is our protest against the Tzedukim. The Gemara asks, how can you say that we're declaring the Shvoferes of the Chatos as if it were Tuma Tomei Meis, and our demonstration, our protest is that we don't require Hair of Shemesh to complete the purification process. V'atanya, but have we not learned Me'olam lo chidshu davar b'para? There was never an innovation, something novel instituted with regard to the Parah. So even though we know that we have a lot of chumros that we impose on the Parah, nevertheless, there's no, we'll say, departure from standard halachic procedure. Now, if you're going to say that we are viewing the tube made for the Parah Adumah as if it has Tumas Mace upon it, then you don't have a bigger Chiddush possible than that. In effect, you're violating the rules of Parah Aduma. Because, just to repeat ourselves, regarding Parah Aduma, nothing novel was ever imposed. We can read this in Rashi, Lo Chidshu Davar B'Parah. Rashi, right across, he says, Afapi she'osu bo malus harbe b'shvil ha'zilzul hazeh she'metamin k'ra sorfa asosot v'yom. Even though there are a number of stringencies that are imposed on Parah Aduma to serve as a counterbalance for the fact that we treated it lightly insofar as our proactive defilement of the Kohen who was going to burn the carcass of the Parah Aduma in order to make him, the Kohen, into a Tvul Yom. So we had to impose stringencies to counterbalance that seeming leniency. Lo chidshu b'gzeros malosel, there was nothing imposed as far as the list of stringencies that are applicable to the Parah Aduma, dofer she'eno motzi b'shu mokoim, something that you don't find in any other place. The im kisha amris shasuba kelim igmor betaro ketomei meis. If, as you said, that vessels that are completed in a state of purity are nevertheless viewed as tomei meis, to say a vessel that's completed in a state of taro and we're going to view it as if it's been defiled in the dead, that's something that's terribly novel. The Gemara answers, Omar Abaye. Abaye says that when the source says they didn't make any chidusha by the Parah Aduma, shelo omru, they didn't say something that doesn't exist. There's a difference between something that's, let's say, unusual versus something that doesn't exist. What was meant that lo chidshu davar b'para? Shelo amru kordom metame moishav. They never said that a kordom, a type of hacking device, cutting device, a kordom referred to as a hatchet or an axe. They never said that a kordom is something subject to tumas moishav. Tumas moishav, defilement as a result of a zav or certain kinds of different tameim that sit on items designed for sitting. This is a concept that we touched on in our previous year, known as medris. Things that are designed for sitting, if a zav or a zava or a nidor mitzor, these are different types of tumeim, tuma yotze migufan, tuma that originates in one's body, when they sit on items designed for sitting, so that item becomes tomei to the extent it becomes an ava tuma, a primary level of tuma, and it can extend defilement to a man. It can defile a person, not just food items. That's a very high level of defilement. In order for an item to become tomei, medris, or like moshav, these are they have to be vessels that are designed for sitting purposes. So when the source said they never made, they never invented something new by the Parah, it meant to say that they never said that the utensils, the knives or the hatchets that are used in the Parah Aduma become a moshav. That because no one ever sits on an axe. An axe is not something that's designed for sitting. So to say that the axe used for the Parah becomes a moshav, gains the qualities of something designed for sitting, that was never said. That's called inventing something new. Kedesanya, and here the Gemara gives the background for what we just explained. Vayoshev al hakli. The Posuk is talking about the imparting of tuma to the vessel upon which the tomei individual sat. Yochel kofa sov yoshev aleh, the halacha of this pasuk of ayoshev alekli, making it tomei, would that apply to a person that takes a saw? Saw is a measuring utensil, measuring device, or measuring vessel. If a person took a saw, inverted it, and sat on it, the yoshev aleh, or Tirkav. Tirkav is also a measuring device. V'yashav olaha. Yehi tamei tikkov, technically speaking, is a measure, but it's also a reference to the vessel used for measuring a tirkav, tirkav being a certain quantity. If a person flipped over the tirkav and sat on it, let's say a zav sat on an inverted saw, or an inverted tirkav, would it become tamei? Would it become tamei, meaning would it become a moshav, and as such be able to betama a person? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, "Vayoshev al akli asher yoshav alav yitma." And from this pasuk we learn, "Misha miyuchad l'shiva," something that's designed for sitting becomes a moshav. Yotzozeh, to the exclusion of a measuring vessel. She'oimrim lo, we would say to someone that sits on it, "Hey, I need it. Yamov v'nasim lachteinu, get off. I need it for our work. We need it for measuring." That's something you would say if someone sits on a vessel that has another purpose, something other than designed for sitting. Something that's designed for sitting, you wouldn't tell a person to get off the chair because you need the chair for something else. The primary use of a chair is for sitting on it. So what we've done in this sukkah is demonstrated that our Mishnah, which says that kelim shenigmor b'tara, you toivel them and you use them immediately, you don't have to wait for Harav Shemesh, could in fact be like the Tana Reb Lezer, who said that with regard to the Shofer Shechatas also, you toivel and use it immediately. And we asked, well, where do you have a demonstration of uniqueness by the Shofer Shechatas? So ultimately we said it's because what's unique about it is we imposed on it the status of Tomei Meis B'Shvi Shelo, and we don't require Harav Shemesh, which is something that's required in general when you're dealing with a Tomei Meis B'Shvi Shelo. The fact that here we're dealing with it in a unique fashion, that's our demonstration against the Tzedukim, tantamount to saying, or by demonstrating to them our statement that here it is, we're using something that's Tomei, that went to Mikveh and did not experience Harav Shemesh, and still we're using it. This is the protest against the Tzedukim, has said you have to wait for Harav Shemesh. Another quote from the Mishnah, we continue in the Gemara, Kli mitzaref mashe besocho l'kodesh avolo l'truma. Mino hani mili. What is the source for this? And here the Gemara will cite a pasuk. I should say more accurately, Rav Honan cites a pasuk from the Torah, indicating that this idea of kli mitzaref mashe besocho is a din d'oraisa. In the course of the Gemara, we're going to then raise a challenge to that. What do you mean it's a din d'oraisa? The concept of kli mitzaref, which we learned in the Mishnah, we spelled it out then. But if you have, let's say, a vessel and it has a number of items in it, or let's say a number of food items in it, and someone tomei comes along and touches one of the pieces in there, so the other pieces are not tomei just because someone touched one piece. However, if the pieces, let us say the pieces in the vessel are pieces of sacrificial meat, and I have a number of pieces in there, and someone tamei comes and touches one of the pieces, it's as if he touched all of the pieces by virtue of the fact that they were in the same vessel. That's kli mitzaref. And this concept of touching one, it's as if you touched all of them, applies to Kiddush and doesn't apply to Truma. If you had a vessel with a number of pieces of truma in it, we would not say the same thing. And now we turn to the Gemara, Minohani Mili, from where do we know this? The Kli Mitzaref. Omar of Chonin, the Omar Kro, the Posuk says, Kafachas Asoro Zohov Malea Kitoris. Here we have a Posuk featuring the gifts, the offerings brought by the Nisim, the heads of each tribe at the consecration of the Mishkan, the dedication of the Mishkan. And it says they brought kaf achas. A kaf is a vessel, type of bowl. And it says it malea ketores. It was filled with ketores. Hakosev aso l'chol ma shebe kaf achas. The posuk said kaf achas And the drush is that the word achas doesn't just mean an individual bowl, but it's a bowl that makes everything in it like one unit, even though they are disparate, separate units of whatever, food. Nevertheless, they're all considered one. And from here we see that Kli Metzarif is Midoraisa, works on a Torah level. Mosiv Rav Kana. The question is raised, you notice it's a long question. And the essence of the question is, as we said before, what do you mean Kli Metzarif L'Kodesh is Doraisa when we will learn it is Derabonon? Now the question. Mosiv Rav Kana. Hoisif Rabbi Akiva. Now, Rabbi Akiva, it says here, Rabbi Akiva added, he added to a list. It's pointed out by Rashi that Rabbi Akiva appears on the heels of a Reisha. And the Reisha, you can see, is the framed section, three lines from the bottom of the Mu'ahed, Rabbi Shimon Besera, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Shimon testified, Al Efer Chatas Shinogam Atome, the Mitzoso Shetime Eskulo, regarding the ash of the Poraduma, that if a Tomei individual touched part of it, all of it becomes Tomei. Now, this Eidus said by Rabbi Shimon ben Beseira is Derabonon. It's something that works on a rabbinic level. That having been said, Rav Kana says, how can you say that Kaf Achas Asoros of Lekteris is a source for Kli Metzarif, making Kli Metzarif Lekodesh, something that operates on a Torah level? Do we not have the following source? Hoisif Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva adds Hasolus Vakteris Valavona Vegecholim. Solus is the flower, Kteris is the incense. Lavona is also a type of spice that is used in the Beis Hamikdash. As part of the Lechem Aponim, the Hagecholim, the coals. Shinoga Tvulyom b'mitzoso, if a Tvulyom touches part of it, Posal es Kulo, he will render unfit all the rest of these items that are in one vessel. So Rabbi Kiva is describing a case of Kli Metzarif, and obviously we're dealing with Kochim matters. And the Gemara points out, V'ho derabonan hi. This is rabbinic. Mimai, and how do you know it's rabbinic? By saying that it's rabbinic, we're challenging Rav Honan. Rav Honan cited Kli Metzarif, which is what Rabbi Akiva is describing, as Rav Honan said it's based on a posuk in the Torah. And here we see in this Tanaic source that it's rabbinic. Mimai, and how do you know that it's rabbinic? Midikotoni Reisha, from the fact that the Reisha says, and bearing in mind that Rabbi Kiva is an addition to this, what does it say in the Reisha? Hey, Rabbi Shimon ben Beseira, al Efer Chatos, Shinoga Hatomi b'miktsosoi. Rabbi Shimon says that if you have Efer Chatos, ash of the Poraduma, the red heifer ash, and someone Tomei comes and touches part of it, Shetime Eskulo, It ruins all of the ash, even the part that he didn't touch. Take a look at the Rashi, three lines from the Ban Apostle, is Kulon, Lefisha Kli Metzarif Yachad. The vessel joins it all together to make it into one entity. V'hach Eidus Midrabonani. This Heyed Rabbi Shimon Be'ser is on a rabbinic level. Midiktoni Reisha, from the fact that the Reisha says, Al Efer, I should say that the Eidus that Rabbi Kiva provides is rabbinic, because it's coming on the heels of the Reisha that spoke about Al Efer Chatos. Vahi Vaday Al Kochu D'Rabbonan Hi. There, it's definitely Rabbonan. D'i Mikra D'Rabbi Chonan. Regarding the Efer Chatos, if you think that it becomes Tomei on a D'Raisa level like Rabbi Chonan's Pasuk suggested, well, from the Pasuk of Rabbi Chonan Lekula Meila Velo Kochi Mizbech, you couldn't derive anything more than holy items that go on the altar. Aval Efer Poro lo. Efer Poro is not the subject of Rav Chonan's pasuk. The Efer Parah is not something that's sacrificed. The Parah Duma is not done in the Beis HaMikdash proper either. So what we have established is that when Rabbi Akiva enters the picture, Hoysif Rabbi Akiva Hasolis Vagturis, etc., where Rabbi Akiva adds to the testimony of Rabbi Shimon ben Beseira. So if Rabbi Shimon ben Beseira is speaking on a rabbinic level, and Rashi pointed out he has to be on a rabbinic, it's obvious that he's on a rabbinic level, because he's not dealing with Kotshei Mizbeach, the topic of the verse cited by Rav Chanan, and Rabbi Akiva is adding to Rav Shimon ben Beseira that the concept of Kli Mitzaref applies not only to the Efer Chatos, but applies to Solas, Keteres, Levoni, Gecholim, which are also Kotshim related things. So it must be that Kli Mitzaref, even for Kotshim, is rabbinic. And that's what the end of the question is. V'katani hoisif Rabbi Akiva, after citing Rav Shimon ben Beseira with regard to the Efer Chatos, where the Kli Mitzaref over there is clearly rabbinic, and it says Rabbi Akiva adds to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, so that means Rabbi Akiva, who speaks about Kli Mitzaref for Kotshim purposes, is adding to adding more to the rabbinic concept of Kli Mitzaref. So the question right now is: What do we do with the fact that Rav Chanan cited a pasuk for Kli Mitzaref for by Kotshim? Omar Reish Lakish Mishum Bar Kapora. We continue at the top of Chof Dalet Amud Aleph. Lo Nitzrecha Ela L'Shiorei Mincha. The Edus of Rabbi Akiva. This is one has to be very careful with knowing how to focus the Gemara at this point. The Edus of Rabbi Akiva, in other words, that which he added to the Edus of Rabbi Shimon ben Beseira, that which Rabbi Akiva was speaking about, he was speaking about Shiorei Mincha. Kli Mitzaref, Shiorei Mincha. Mincha is a meal offering. Shiorei Mincha is the balance of the meal offering that's eaten by the Kohanim after the handful of the Mincha was burnt on the altar. Shiorei means leftover, the remnant of, the residue, the balance of the Mincha after the Kohanim was offered. On a Torah level, as Rav Chanan said, Kli Mitzaref. Rabbi Akiva speaks about Kli Mitzaref, but only on a rabbinic level. When Rabbi Akiva speaks about, he mentioned in the source Soles, for example. Soles is flour used for making meal offerings. Rabbi Akiva is speaking about not the basic meal offering, but the Shiorei Mincha. And the rule goes as follows, and with this rule we'll then understand how on the one hand Rav Chanan speaks about Kli Mitzaref on a Torah level, and on the other hand Rabbi Akiva speaks about Kli Mitzaref on a rabbinic level. So it works as follows. The Oiraisa, something for Kli Mitzaref to work on a Torah level, Tzorech L'Kli HaKli Mitzarfoi Shein Tzorech L'Kli Ein Kli Mitzarfo. Only items that require being inside a vessel. That's the case of a korban mincha, a meal offering, before the handful, the klimetz, was removed. The initial meal offering needs to be in a vessel. So as such, the initial meal offering, that we can call tzorch kli, then we apply the concept of kli mitzarfo. She'ein tzorech l'kli ein kli mitzarfo, something that doesn't require being in a vessel. That's true with regard to the Shiorei Mincha. Then, on a Torah level, the kli does not join all the various pieces of mincha that are in this one vessel. The Asu Rabbonin v'gazru, and the Rabbonin came along and imposed a stringency. The Avagav, the Eino tzorech l'kli, even though it's something that does not require being in the vessel, Kli mitzarfa, the Kli will join it together. So with regard to the solus that Rabbi Kiva spoke about, we can, and we said the solus is part, it's an ingredient in a mincha, a meal offering. With regard to the meal offering, we can make this distinction. And hence, Rabbi Akiva is in fact on a rabbinic level, as we said, and his reference to the solus was in the context of the Shiore Mincha. Gemara continues. Tainach solus. This whole explanation is suitable for the solus example that Rabbi Akiva cited. Ktores ulavona ma'ikol ameimar. What about the examples of Rabbi Akiva when he cited the Ktores and Lavona? Now, Ktores and Lavona are things. The Ktores is the incense. That's the incense offering, and the Lavona is a spice that's associated with the lechem aponim, and it's stored from week to week on the shulchan in bozichin. It's a type of vessel. It's the name of a vessel called bozichin. The Ktores and Lavona, these are things that require being in a vessel. So here we said that Rabbi Kiva is speaking on a rabbinic level. So where do you have, according to our distinction, where do you have Rabbi Kiva's additions fitting into this scheme? Namely, that Kli Mitzaref, with regard to Ktores and Lavona, on a rabbinic level. Once you tell me that these are things that are Tzorach L'Kli, the Kli Mitzaref then is on a Torah level, and yet Rabbi Kiva is speaking on a rabbinic level. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rabba Bar Avua, Kegoin Shetzovron Agabi Kartavlo. The items that Rabbi Kiva mentioned, the Ktores and Lavona, he piled them up on a kartavla. Kartavla is a piece of boiled leather. It's a flat entity. It's leather. It's a sheet of leather that's been boiled. It's a flat entity. It's not something that contains. It has a that's bowl shaped. Which we refer to in halachic terms as having a toch, having an interior. Something that's flat, you don't describe as having an interior. So, what is the rule as far as Doraisa and Rabbanan? So here we go with another stage of rule creation. Doraisa on a Torah level, yesh lo toch mitzaref, ein lo toch eino mitzaref. On a Torah level, the ability of a kli to join together disparate elements within it as and can be to be considered as one, this is true only if the vessel has an interior. If it doesn't have an interior like the kartavla, then it's not mitzarif. It doesn't join the disparate parts together. V'yosu rabbonu v'tiknu, when the rabbis came along and instituted the afagav di ein lo toich, even something that doesn't have an interior like the flat piece of leather, mitzarif. It nevertheless enables tziruf to take place, and if someone tomei touched part of the ktores or lavona grains that were piled on the kartavlo, all of them become tomei, even though the tomei person didn't touch the other pieces. Upliga de Rav Chonin, Rav Chonin's point that tziruf exists on a Torah level is at odds at the Rav Chiya Bar Abba. It's against Rav Chiya Bar Abba's approach. The Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, may eduso shel Rabbi Akiva nishneis mishnah zu. Based on the testimony of Rabbi Akiva, namely that kli mitzaref on a rabbinic level, based on that, our mishnah was taught. And our mishnah speaks about all kachim, even kachim that are tzorech l'kli, that require being in a vessel. So according to Rav Chiya Bar Abba, even tzorech l'kli, we say kli mitzaref only on a rabbinic level. And as we said, that is not the approach that Rav Chonin had taken when you're dealing with items that are tzorech l'kli. According to Rav Chonin, kli is mitzaref on a Torah level. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.